Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from Matthew chapter 15, where we hear Jesus say repeatedly, "You have heard that it was said, but I say unto you." So far the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. Last week we heard Jesus say that He had not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. Then He warned His disciples about those who relax one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same. And that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees was a righteousness of their own imagination. They thought that by their outward keeping of God's commandments, at least by not doing anything really bad, they were certainly superior to the obviously bad people like tax collectors and prostitutes, and therefore they were keeping the law well enough for God to reward them with eternal life. But Jesus doesn't want His disciples to think that that's the way it is. And so He sets out to dispel that faulty notion. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees didn't really keep or teach the law, God's law. Rather, they tried to make the law easier, more manageable. An example of this is making an additional commandment about how far you were allowed to walk on the Sabbath, so that you wouldn't even come close to breaking the Sabbath. The effect of this was that they got more hung up on their own man-made rules than they did with the true meaning of God's commandments. And in so doing, they made the law too soft. They made the law into something that they could manage. After all, if you try really hard, you can control how far you walk on the Sabbath. And thus the Pharisees could look good in front of others, even as they looked down their noses at the people who didn't try quite as hard as they did, or certainly didn't succeed like they did. But meanwhile, they missed the whole point of the Sabbath, which has to do with stopping your normal work so that you can pay attention to God's Word. And that Word never teaches that you can be righteous before God by your own works. The scribes and the Pharisees thought that as long as they kept God's commandments in their outward final form, then they were keeping the law well enough to earn their salvation. So, for example, they would think, "Well, I haven't actually murdered anybody, have I? So, I guess I've kept the 'you shall not murder' commandment." But that's making God's commandment too easy. So Jesus has to show the extent to which the commandment reaches. He says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire." Jesus is giving what the law really says. He's amping it up a bit from what the Pharisees were used to. He's saying that it's not just that final outward act of murder, the actual taking of a life, that violates the commandment. It's everything that leads up to it, whether in thought, word, or deed. Anything you do that harms your brother, any harsh words you speak that injure his spirit, you are breaking the murder commandment. Don't soften that commandment. And I don't care who you are, you've committed murder because you've broken God's commandment. The same would be said of holding grudges and judging others. Take another example. Adultery. The Pharisees would say that as long as they had not actually slept with another man's wife and committed adultery in that narrow sense, they had kept the commandment. But Jesus says, no, you're making the commandment too easy again. He says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You see, the sin problem starts in the heart. You think you've kept this commandment well enough for God to be impressed with you? Think again. The adultery commandment covers all sexual sins, and again, whether in thought, word, or deed, whether male or female, whether married or not. It's the lust of your heart that's the heart of the problem, not just the final act of lying with another man's wife. Likewise, the scribes and Pharisees often made divorce too easy. Once Jesus was asked if a man could divorce his wife for any reason. Some were more strict in their teaching and others were quite permissive. In the end, Jesus says that marriage is to be one man, one woman, for life. That's how God designed it. And only God has the right to end a marriage. And that's by the death of the man or the woman. Well, then Jesus talks about taking an oath. Now, I often hear somebody say, I swear. And they say it needlessly and carelessly. They really don't know what they're saying. And in fact, they often don't even know that they said it. Jesus says, let whatever you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil or from the evil one. Now, it is most certainly true that each of us have an inner Pharisee within us. We want to think that we're good enough for God to be pleased with us. I'm certainly a better person than those bad people over there. But this kind of relative righteousness comes naturally to us all. With a scribe's lawyerliness, we try to make excuses for our behavior and rationalize our sin, downplaying it as though our sin is not really that bad or that serious. We think of our sin as though God can't see through what we're doing. So Jesus has to strip away this veneer of self-righteousness lest we fool and delude ourselves into thinking that we're good enough on our own. The righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees is not righteous enough. If we think it is, we're not going to be much interested in hearing about a Savior. That's how it is with our righteousness before God. You need a bigger righteousness than anything you can come up with. God's law convicts us all. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Oh, we may be outwardly respectable. We haven't committed murder. We haven't committed adultery in the sense of the outward final act. But that's not good enough. God's law extends to our inner thoughts, to the words we speak, and to the acts we do. To the wrong things we do, and to the right things we fail to do. The righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees is not going to cut it. You will not inherit eternal life that way. You will not enter the kingdom of heaven that way. No, you need a bigger and better righteousness. And since you can't find it in yourself, you have to find it somewhere else. And indeed, there is only one place you will find it, and that's in Jesus. He came to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus kept the law perfectly on your behalf. He always loved God with his whole heart. He always loved his neighbor as himself. Thought, word, deed. Everything done the way it's supposed to be done. Righteousness fulfilled. And yet, Jesus suffered the punishment that we poor sinners deserve. Again, on our behalf. The judgment has been lifted off of you and placed on him. And because Jesus is the Holy Son of God, his sacrifice covers all your sins. And in exchange, he gives you his righteousness. Now, you are judged before God because you are connected to Christ by faith. You are joined to Jesus' death and resurrection through your baptism. And his righteousness becomes your righteousness. And that righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees by far. It's the righteousness that Jesus freely gives you. God grant that you receive that righteousness, live in that righteousness, celebrate that righteousness now and forever to the glory of his holy name. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.